little. A little is sometimes all you need. Going out, they don't care as much as when you're coming in. Reacher nodded and looked up and saw Brewer coming in the door. Big, fast, energetic. Something in his face. Maybe frustration, maybe concern. Reacher couldn't tell. Or perhaps the guy was just tired. He had been woken up early. He hurried through the room and slid into the booth and sat in the same spot the Pentagon guy had just vacated. The body in the river was not the guy in Patty's photograph. You sure? As sure as I've ever been about anything. Patty's guy's about 5'9" and athletic, and the floater was 6'3" and wasted. Those are fairly basic differences, wouldn't you say? Reacher nodded. Fairly basic. Pauling asked, did he have a tongue?
A what?
A tongue. Did the floater have a tongue?
Doesn't everybody? What kind of question is that?
We're looking for a guy who had his tongue cut out. Brewer looked straight at her.
And the floater ain't yours. I was just at the morgue. He's got everything except a heartbeat.
You sure?
Medical examiners tend to notice things like that.
Okay, Reacher said. Thanks for your help.
Not so fast. Talk to me.
About what?
About why you're interested in this guy.
Something in his face. Reacher asked, did you get an ID?
Brewer nodded.
From his fingerprints. They were mushy, but we made him work. He was an NYPD snitch. Relatively valuable. I've got buddies uptown who are relatively unhappy.
What kind of a snitch?
Methamphetamine out of Long Island. He was due to testify.
Where had he been?
He just got out of Rikers. They swept him up along with a bunch of others to keep his cover intact. Held him a few days, then turned him loose.
When?
He just got out. The ME figures he was dead about 3 hours after walking through the gates.
And we don't know anything about him, Reacher said. He's completely unrelated.
This time it was Brewer who said,
you sure?
Reacher nodded.
I promise. Brewer gave him a long, hard look, cop to cop. Then he just shrugged and said, okay.
Reacher said, sorry, we can't help.
Hey, shit happens.
You still got Patty's photograph?
Photographs. She gave me two. Couldn't decide which one was better.
You still got them?
In my pocket.
Want to leave them with me?
Brewer smiled, man to man.
You planning on returning them personally?
I could. But first I want to look at them.
They were in a standard white letter-size envelope. Brewer pulled it from his inside pocket and laid it on the table. Reacher saw the name Taylor and the words For Brewer written on the front in blue ink and neat handwriting. Then Brewer left. Just stood up and walked back out to the street with the same kind of speed and energy and hustle he had used on the way in. Reacher watched him go, and then he turned the envelope face down and squared it on the table in front of him. Looked at it hard, but left it unopened.
What have we got? He asked.
We've got the same as we always had. We've got Taylor and the guy who can't talk.
Reacher shook his head. Taylor is the guy who can't talk. Chapter 54.
Pauling said, that's absurd. Lane wouldn't employ anyone who can't talk. Why would he? And nobody mentioned it. You asked about Taylor several times. They said he was a good soldier. They didn't say he was a good soldier except he can't talk. They'd have mentioned that little detail, don't you think?
Two words, Reacher said. All we need to do is add two words and the whole thing makes perfect sense.
What two words?
We've been saying the guy can't talk. Truth is, he can't afford to talk.
Pauling paused a long moment. Then she said,
because of his accent.
Reacher nodded.
Exactly.
All along we've been saying nobody was missing, but by definition, Taylor was missing from the start. And Taylor was behind this whole damn thing. He planned it, and he set it up, and he executed it. He rented the apartment and he bought the chair. He probably did other stuff we didn't catch up with yet. And everywhere he went, he couldn't risk opening his mouth. Not even once. Because he's English. Because of his accent. He was realistic. He knew he had to be leaving a trail.
And if whoever was tracking him came along later and heard all about an average-looking 40-year-old man with an English accent, they would have made him in a second. It would have been a total no-brainer. Who else would anyone have thought of? Because he was the last one to see Kate and Jade alive.
He did the same thing this night, 5 years ago. That's how the takedown worked.
Exactly, Reacher said again. It's the only way to explain it. Possibly he drove them to Bloomingdale's, but certainly he didn't stop there. He just pulled a gun and kept on going. Maybe he threatened to shoot Kate in front of the kid. That would have kept her quiet. Then he just dropped off the radar and started relying on a kind of double alibi he had created for himself. First, he was presumed dead. And second, all anyone would ever remember of him was a guy that couldn't speak, a guy with no tongue. It was a perfect piece of misdirection. Weird, exotic, absolutely guaranteed to get us chasing off in the wrong direction.
Pauling nodded. Brilliant, in a way.
It was all anyone remembered. Like that old Chinese man, all he really recalled was the way the guy gulped like a fish. And the super on 6th Avenue. We said, tell us about the guy, and he said he keeps his mouth tight shut all the time because he's embarrassed that he can't talk. That was the beginning and end of his description. The obvious thing and the only thing. Everything else was trivial by comparison.
Open the envelope. Confirm it.
So Reacher lifted the envelope's flap and slid the two photographs out, face down. He tapped the back of the top picture like a card sharp, looking for luck. Then he flipped it over. It was the guy he had seen twice before, no question about it. Taylor. White, a little sunburned, lean, chiseled, clean-shaven, jaw clamped, not smiling, maybe 40 years old. Blue jeans, blue shirt, blue ball cap, white sneakers. All the clothing worn and comfortable. It was clearly a very recent shot. Patty Joseph had caught him coming out of the Dakota one late summer morning. It looked like he had paused on the sidewalk and lifted his gaze to check the weather. By doing so, he had met the angle of Patty's long Nikon lens perfectly.
No doubt about it, Reacher said. That's the guy I saw getting into the Mercedes and the Jaguar.
He turned the second picture over. It was a closer shot. Maximum zoom, and therefore not quite as clear. There was a little camera shake. The focus wasn't perfect, but it was a viable photograph. Same location, same angle, different day, same guy. But this time, his mouth was open. His lips were drawn back. He wasn't smiling. Maybe he was just grimacing against the sudden glare of the sun after stepping out of the dark Dakota lobby. He had terrible teeth. Some were missing. The rest were gappy and uneven.
There you go, Reacher said. There's another reason. No wonder everyone told us he kept his mouth clamped shut all the time. He's not dumb. He was concealing two pieces of evidence at the same time, not just one. His English accent and his British dentistry. Because that's really a no-brainer. Someone from Lane's crew hears about a Brit with bad teeth. It would have been like wearing a name tag around his neck.